I am the duty elder for this morning. Anyone visiting Birmingham East, I would ask you to please sign the guest book in the alcove and join us after the service for an hour of fellowship. Now I'd like to call on Mrs. Dixon. She has an announcement to make.
Good morning. It's time for new boxes for 2018, so I thought I'd take a moment to bring your attention to a few things about the 2018 envelope boxes, the about par as envelope boxes, and mailbox as envelopes. So the company that we used to use as Coach's Stores, and they referred us to another company, and we're using that company now, and so the boxes themselves look a little different. We have updated the allocation show so that they better reflect the current BEPC allocation bucket. So the updates are minimal, but for example, you'll notice that CWSNB now has its own line, whereas the Heritage Fund has moved to the line to be included with other. PAR, which is the acronym for pre-authorized remittance, is a service that is provided for those who want an automatic once a month withdrawal. Now, even though you're on PAR, you will still get a box of envelopes because your number is the one that is needed to set up PAR. So, and I know people say that they don't need boxes, but you can use them in a number of different ways. You can use them for special offerings such as Food for Life, Christmas Outreach, or any other special offering that you may want to give throughout the year. You can put them in the offering plate, and when you do that, just write PAR on the envelope. The people who are doing the count won't expect to find anything in the envelope. Beyond church use, the blank side of the envelope is great for grocery lists, to-do lists, and if you can't find anything to use them for, then please recycle them in your blue box. The mailbox at the back of the church are organized such that your slot is above your name. So when you pick up your envelope today, or if you already have, please check the label on them to make sure that you've taken the correct one. There are a number of missing names in the main slot. Most of them seem to be surnames starting with W. Please check the table across from the mail slots. Your box should be there, and the missing names will be added to the mail slots in the next little while. And other than that, if you have any questions, please catch me after church, or contact me with the information that's in the bulletin. Thank you.
A couple of things that I wanted to point out this morning, and thank you everybody who's been bringing the Children's Wish gift bags in and putting them in my office before the service today, but if you did happen to forget to bring it this morning, you can bring it in tomorrow morning first thing when the office is open. And I also wanted to remind everybody about this afternoon's longest night service at 3:00, and I've written out this sort of invitation to describe what we do. Christmas can be a painful time for some people. It can be the first Christmas without a loved one or family member who has recently died. It may be a time that just is difficult in general terms for you. The constant refrain on radio and television and in the shopping malls and churches is all about the happiness of the season and about getting together with family and friends. And it reminds many people of what they've lost or maybe what they've never had. The anguish of broken relationships, the insecurity of unemployment, the weariness of ill health, the pain of isolation, all these can make us feel very alone in the midst of all the celebrating and spending and Christmas talk. We need the space and time to acknowledge this quietness, the sadness and concern, and we need to know that we are not alone. Our spirits can sink as the days grow shorter. We can feel the darkness growing deeper around us, and we need encouragement to live in the days ahead. And for these reasons and many more, here at Burlington East, we've been offering a special longest night service, we call it, which would typically be on the 21st, but we're having it today at 3:00. And we're having it at 3 instead of later in the evening so that it's still light out. You have enough time to get home for a meal, and then you can come back. And we just have about a half-hour service where we just have some reflections and an opportunity to just be quiet and be reflective and know that we're not alone at this particular time. So I'm asking that if you can, come out and join us in the sharing and hearing of prayers and some scripture and a bit of music that acknowledge God's presence is for those who mourn and for those who struggle, and that God's word comes to shine light into our darkness always. And everyone is more than welcome. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship. Call on Dave Wood and family to lead us in our call to worship. Thank you, Dave. We'll join together now in our first hymn this morning, our Christmas hymn, number 153, Joy to the World. Please be seated. Old habits and new wrongs can very often wear ruts through our lives and our relationships. But God gives us the joy that is unbelievable, a joy that can restore us. God is able always to restore us, like waters coursing through a desert, the waters of baptism flowing through us, reminding us that we belong to God and we are raised to new life. Let us now bow our heads before the Lord with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, Lord, O God, for all those in Scripture who have pointed to Christ, for your prophets Elijah and Isaiah, for other prophets, and for John. We thank you, too, for those in our lives who have pointed us to Christ, pastors and teachers, strangers and friends, Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, friends that we have known for many, many years in our lives, all who have pointed us to you, Lord. Give us eyes to see Christ today among those who are oppressed, imprisoned, brokenhearted, or beaten down. And we will give our testimony to how Christ releases and sets free, how he turns ashes into garlands, how he repairs and builds up what is ruined. And then we too will point others to Christ Jesus, who is the light of our world. Merciful God, we also come before you because you love justice. Why then, so it seems, we continue to persist in wrongdoing? Why is it, Lord, that we persist in stepping away from what you call us to do? You have given us the gift of your Spirit. So why do we quench that Spirit, Lord? You've given us the words of the prophets and the Word itself. Why then do we despise and often ignore what we've heard from you? You've sent the light into the world, Lord. You sent that light into our lives. And there have been times, Lord, that we have loved darkness rather than light. And so forgive us, Lord. Restore us. Help us to remember our baptism, the waters that cleanse, the joy that is filling us because of this. Till and tend us as your garden, Lord, until righteousness and praise spring up. And we pray this all for the sake of Christ. And Lord, now we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ Jesus, the Lord has done great things for us. Even if we've gone out in tears, God brings us home with shouts of joy. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven and washed clean. Amen. Thank you very much, choir. And thank you again today because you not only brought in the Christmas wish gifts for the children, but we've also got our white gifts. There's some here. There's some out the front door. White Gift Sunday dates back to 1904 in Ohio, and the wife of a Methodist minister, sadly Methodist as opposed to Presbyterian, but we can't get it all, folks. We try. Methodist minister and her two wife of the Methodist minister and her two daughters came up with the idea of giving gifts wrapped in white paper at Christmas time to people who were in need, people who had special needs and were not as well off and able to get things. The gifts were wrapped in white so that they would be anonymous, and the people who can give only a little would not necessarily be embarrassed. It was just a small white gift. There's a Chinese tradition where all the people gave their king a gift wrapped in plain white paper so that every gift would look the same. And people gave the king what they were able, and the king welcomed them all. White gift shares in the spirit of Christ and of the God of love at Christmas. We give gifts of love to people in need. And these gifts, as we have today, are often non-perishable food items that are distributed to people in our community, and especially the efforts from this congregation in our participation with Food for Life every Monday. So White Gift Sunday celebrates the stewardship of God's love and giving at a time of year when we remember the coming of the King of Kings. And it's a time when we're doing lots of giving, it seems, but the giving is what's part of Christmas in that sense for all of us. And we thank you for offering these perishable foods. They'll be well used with Food for Life. But I'd like to have a prayer of dedication over these. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, you are the giver of all gifts. You know each need and you hear each prayer. We know that as we pray to you every Sunday in particular. But right now, Lord, we come to you today with these gifts that have been offered that we can give, that they've been given in Christ's spirit of love and justice. So bless and use all of these, our white gift offerings, and use them in the lives for the building of your kingdom and to feed people, Lord, because that's really what they need, spiritual and physical nourishment. And we pray a blessing on them all, that they will meet the needs that are out there and that they will be used to your glory. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Join together now in our children's hymn, number 681. We have heard a joyful sound, and during the second verse, while the children come forward to sit on the pew here at the front, we've heard a joyful sound, 681. Please be seated. Now, every year, pretty much every year, I would say, on the third Sunday of Advent, we have a children's pageant. But we have a new staff person that just started with us recently, Michelle. Can you come on up here, Michelle? And we haven't really had time to put a children's pageant together this year, so we thought what we might do, Michelle, this is something new for her. We thought what we might do today, or at least I thought what we might do, is practice a children's pageant today so that we can get ready for next year. That makes a good idea, right? All right. But we have a special person who's going to help us this morning, and that's over here. We got Madeline's going to come up. Now, Madeline, I'm going to set you up because Madeline's going to be our narrator. And really, this is the only part of this that we've got sort of practiced. You think you can sit up on there? Is that too tall? You're too tall? You can get up there? All right. And I'm going to give you this microphone to hold on to. And Uncle Bob up there, I'll do that. So we have a script, and we're going to start going through that. And then we also have a box of goodies down here for things that we might need throughout the play. And Michelle's going to help me with that, right? All right, we're all set. So this is our rehearsal. This is not the actual pageant. It's just the practice for the pageant. So be prepared for lots of stops, lots of starts, ins and outs. Madeline, what's the first line?
A long time ago in the city of Nazareth, there was a woman named Mary.
Wait, we don't have Mary. We have to get a Mary. Let's see, who wants to be Mary? Okay, come on, you can be Mary. All right, Mary, come on over here and we'll find, I think there's something we can, maybe we could try that. Put that on her head and see. And I'll get you a chair, Mary, because we can't have, you know, and I guess if we're going to get a chair for Mary, we might as well get a chair for Joseph, too. It's going to be coming up soon. All right. So there you go. You can sit there. Thank you. All right, let's try that line again.
A long time ago in the city of Nazareth, there was a woman named Mary.
Right, we have Mary. And what's next?
Mary was promised to marry a man named Joseph.
Whoa, we don't have a Joseph yet. Wait, who wants to be Joseph? Brandon, you want to be Joseph? Come on up here. Let's see if we can find a Joseph thing for you to put on. Here, let's try that on him. See how that works, Michelle. You can sit beside Mary. Now remember, we're just practicing today. Yeah, that's just over his shoulders. That's good. Or over his head. That's good. Yeah, all right. You can have a seat here. So let's try that line again, Madeline.
Mary was promised to marry a man named Joseph who lived there too.
Okay. So how about you both stand up so we can see you nicely and look like you like each other, you know, because you... Okay, you sit down again. What's next, Madeline?
Well,
Angel, wait, you need an angel. Okay, wait a minute. We need an angel. I think we have angel wings in there, Michelle. Who wants to be an angel? You want to be an angel? Come on, you could be the angel. Come on, Darren, you can do it. You want to be the angel? You can stand on the chair and everything. Okay, you can be the angel. You want to be the angel? No, you won't. You'll be fine. We'll get the angel wings on you. Turn around. They're supposed to be small. You're just a little angel. Here you go. You got it. Okay, angels, you want to appear before these? You're going to stand on the chair, and I'll hold your hand so you don't fall. You all right? All right, go ahead. Go, Madeline.
One day, an angel from God came and talked to Mary.
Mary, come on over here because the angel's talking to you. All right, there we go. Okay, carry on. What did the angel say? And he will be the Son of God. Right? Yeah? Okay, well, you read the next line, too. Read the next line, pretending you're the angel. And you mouth the words as if you're talking to Mary. Okay, go.
Mary, you're going to have a baby, and he will be the Son of God.
Very good. Thank you. That's good. Okay, Mary, wait, Mary. What does Mary say?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, Mary, you can go sit down. Angel, you can take your chair and go over there. We'll need you back later, so take your chair with you. That was good practice. That's good. We're doing well. And then the angel left. Is that right, Madeline?
And then the angel left.
Okay. Now, Joseph, stand up, Joseph. Go ahead.
Now, Joseph wasn't sure what to do when he heard that Mary was going to have a baby.
Okay, so Mary, you have to stand up and whisper in his ear that you're going to have a baby. And then sit down. And now, Joseph, you got to look worried, man. You got to pace back and forth. Walk back and forth. You know, like, well, yo, yeah, that's it. Walk back and forth. You're worried. What are you going to do? Okay, well, let's stop over here. We'll see. So, Madeline, what's the next line?
So one night, while he was asleep.
You're asleep. Close your eyes. That's it.
The angel came to talk to Joseph.
Angel, you're on again. Bring your chair. You're doing good. Okay, what's the angel say on the next page? Practice makes perfect.
Joseph, Mary's going to have a baby.
Look at the angel.
It's okay for you to marry her and take care of her and the baby. You will name the baby Jesus.
Okay, now stand up, Joseph, because that's the part. It's an important line coming up here. What does Joseph say in return? Good job. Sit down. Okay, Angel, you're done. And that's what he... Okay, and? No, leave him on your back in a minute.
And so that's what...
Exactly what he did. Very good. Now, what's next, Madeline, in our lines?
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't have a Caesar Augustus yet. Who's going to be Caesar? Who wants to be Caesar? Aaron, you can be. There you go. Hold that up high so everybody can see it. Hi, I'm Caesar Augustus. Okay, now stand up here on the top step there because you're going to make a decree. Right there. Hold your sign up. Let the choir see it too because they didn't get a chance to look at it. See? Hi, I'm Caesar Augustus. Good job. Okay, read the line. Okay, now you pretend you're talking. She's going to say some lines for you. Go.
Everyone, go to your own hometown so that I can count you.
Good job, Darren. You did a great job there. Okay, you can go down there. Mary and Joseph, I need you to walk down the back here so we can pretend we're coming to Bethlehem. Come on with me. Okay, go ahead, Madeline, read the line.
So Mary and Joseph went to the town of Bethlehem.
Okay, we're going back to Bethlehem. Back to Bethlehem. Keep going. Sorry. Very good. Okay, now, what's next? What's next? Lots of other people?
There were lots of other people in good. There, too. There were so many people, in fact, there was no room for them in the inn. So Mary and Joseph stayed in the stable, which was a place for animals to stay warm and dry.
All right, we need some animals, because we're in a stable, right? So we need some animals. Come on, you could be an animal. You could be a, come on up. We have some ears for our animals. You could be an animal too. Come on. You want to be an animal? Sure you can. All right. What do we got? We got some cute ears. I'm not sure how they'll go on you, but we'll try it. There you go. Under your chin and over your head. There you go. And then you can go in place over here. Well, what do you put them on the best way you can. And we need some more animals. These are sheep. So we've got some sheep. We're going to need, what else do we need? We need a cow. Gourd. Come on, you could be a cow. We don't have a costume for you, but I'm sure you'll do a good job. There you go. You sit right there. And we need some chickens. Hair mules. You can be chickens. Come on up here. And we don't have any chicken outfits, fortunately for you. But you're going to be the chicken. You can sit on the other side. So we have lots of animals here, right? We have some animals? Okay. Cow, what do cows say? Okay, read the line.
There was a cow there.
Moo. Moo. I know we're practicing, Gord, but we don't have to prompt you that much, I hope.
There was a sheep there.
There's sheep. What do sheep say, sheep? Bah. Bah. Very good. And?
There were chickens there.
Chickens, what are you doing? I didn't hear you, chickens. But remember, we're practicing, so we've got to get that projection happening.
Clock.
There we go. Very good. And who else was there, Madeline?
And Mary and Joseph stayed there, too.
Wave your hands, Mary and Joseph, so we can see that you're there. Very good. Okay, and, oh, well, you know what we're missing? We're missing the manger. This is going to be tricky getting it down over top of the cow, I think. Well, because I got to walk past you there, see? Thank you, cow. Here, we have a manger because that means we're in the stable there, okay? And while... Okay, and while they were there, what happened?
While they were there, baby Jesus was born, and Mary took him and wrapped him up in a warmth and laid him in.
Put him in the manger. There you go. Good job. Very good. So we got baby Jesus. We got all the animals. We got Mary and Joseph. And then what's next? We need some shepherds. So you guys, you two guys, come on with me. You're going to be shepherds. Come on, you need shepherds down here. Who else can we get for shepherds? Let's see. And David, you can be a shepherd too. You could be a shepherd. Right? Not down that far. We want to be right about the middle. And there's a reason for that. Let's see. Sheldon, you want to be a shepherd?
Yeah.
Come on, you could be a... Come on, you could be a shepherd too. Now, we're practicing. That's why this is taking a little longer. That's okay. It's just a practice. All right, shepherds, you're out here tending your sheep, and we don't have any prop sheep because we're just practicing, but you talk amongst yourselves. All right. Yeah, there you go, shepherd's pie, that's right. All right, so read that line again, that night. At the top of the page.
That night, there were some shepherds out in the field watching over their flocks of sheep.
Okay, and then? And then? What's next, Madeline?
And the angel came.
Whoa, we don't have an angel. Mr. Decker. Come on forward. There you go. Just stand right there and wave your arms like you're an angel. Very good. Okay, now read the line.
And the angel came and talked to the shepherds. And they were terrified.
Be afraid. Because it's... All right, now what did the angel say?
Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. You will find the baby wrapped in soft cloth and lying in a manger.
Oh, good message. Did we get that message? Yes. Very good. You got it all out there. And then, Madeline, what happened next?
And all of a sudden, there were lots of angels saying...
Everybody in the balcony, stand up. You're all going to be the host of angels. And what did they say, Madeline?
Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. God's good will to men.
All right, let me hear that, choir. Yeah, did everybody hear that? I don't think it was. Let's try that again. One, two, three. Nice and loud. And then what happened, Madeline? Read the next one.
And then the angels left.
Now you're not leaving, you're just sitting down. Okay. Now what? What are the shepherds going
to
do, Madeline?
And when the angels had left, the shepherds went and found the baby Jesus in the manger, just as they had been told.
And you can sit down in front of children, and Anne, you can sit on the seats and everything. There you go. Lots of room for you. Lots of room for you. And then what?
And when they found him, they worshipped him.
Very good. Okay. Next now. What's next on our script? I have a crown for Herod, and I know who's going to be the perfect Herod. No. Josh, come on up here, buddy. I know. You get a crown, you get to sit on here, watch it doesn't tip over on you, bud. There you go. Now, he needs some advisors and guards. So, Jonah, you're going to be one. Come on up here, buddy. Come on, Jonah, you're going to be one of Josh's guards. You're here to protect this guy, right? Yeah, you're here to protect him. He's doing a good job. You're here to protect him. Make sure he's okay. No, he didn't need a sword. He's a martial arts expert, aren't you? That's right. We need another one. We need another guard. I like this job. We got another guard. Thanks, Josh. Okay, we're at the top of the page 4, Madeline.
One day after baby Jesus had been born, wise men came to Jerusalem looking for the newly born baby.
Wait, we need some wise men. You guys can be wise men. Yeah, we got crowns for you. Here, you can give them some crowns. That's 2. We need a third wise man. Stuart, you can be a third wise man. Okay, wise men, you got to go to the back. You have to go to the back for a minute. Go on down the back. Go on the back. Okay, now read that again. One day.
One day after baby Jesus had been born, wise men came to Jerusalem.
Wise men.
Looking for the newly born king of the Jews.
You're going to stand about here because you want to talk to Herod. Make sure you're guarding him good, Jonah. Don't let anybody get near him. Okay, come on over here. Okay, good. And Madeline.
They asked King Herod where he was.
Okay, so now you're going to read their line. You're going to pretend you're talking to Herod. Okay, go.
Where is he who is born King of the Jews?
Well, that wasn't bad. I saw one mouth moving a little bit. Yeah, it was good, though. That was a good job. Good try. Okay, so what's next?
So the king asked his advisor.
Okay, King, you're going to mouth the word. She's going to read the line for you. Go. Where?
Where is this king of the Jews to be born?
And the soldiers, guards, you can point right there. And when she says, where was he?
In Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem. Dun, dun, dun. Now, Herod has got another line. Go.
In Bethlehem, go and find him. Let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too.
Aha. Uh-huh. I think there's an evil plot at play here. Who knows? Okay, now, the wise men, you're going to go back down about the middle. And then I need you again. You're going to do this. You go on back there with them and you can lead the way. Okay, go. So?
So the wise men went and found baby Jesus by following his star, and when they found him, they worshipped him.
There we go, guys. Good job. Right up to the front where the star is. And you guys can sit there if you want. And what's the secret about Herod now? Okay, you can go home another way. Yeah, it's over there. That's good over there on that side. And you can have a seat too. Okay, next line is, because Herod's up.
When the king found out, he was really mad.
Okay, you're going to say your line and look the part. Okay, read it. And then?
He was determined to destroy this newborn king. So King Herod sent his soldiers to Bethlehem to find the baby Jesus.
Okay, soldiers. Wait, say your line. Say his line for him.
Go and find him and destroy him.
Away you go. Away you go. Go on down. Look for baby Jesus. Angel, we need you back again. Your chair and everything. Joseph, you need to be, I think you're going to have to be sleeping again. That's it. That's right. And the angel, get up on your chair. And then?
But God warned Joseph in a dream to get out of there.
And what did the angel actually say?
Get out of there!
Okay. Okay, angel, you're out. And now what happens?
And so they did.
Okay, so Mary and Joseph, take the baby Jesus carefully, and you can just walk about halfway down there. Because you're out of Jerusalem or Bethlehem now. Okay, go ahead.
And so Joseph and Mary and the little baby Jesus went to Egypt, and they stayed there until the evil king Herod died.
The evil king died. Grand exit. You can go back to your seat now. Thanks, buddy. Good. Okay, go ahead. Okay, Angel, we need you back over here on your chair. And what did the angel say?
Hey, you can come back now. It's safe.
Come on back. Thank you, Angel. Take your seats and put baby Jesus in the manger. And what else have we got there, Madeline? Now, if we, that's right. Now, if we were, thanks, Shelby. If we were going to do a Christmas pageant, that's kind of what it would look like. if we rehearse it a couple more times. You get the idea, though. And I want to thank all of our participants, the Hare Mules and Sheldon. You can go back to your seats, but I think the boys and girls have something special they're going to share with us right now in singing, which is also part of our pageant rehearsal. Let's move this over here so we want to see you all, okay? You can we'll get your chairs out of the way too. Put it, yeah, it's in there. Thank you for your help. It's a good thing we're just practicing, you know. Put it in the box. Thank you. And I'm going to take this away so you can stand there, okay? Very good. Thank you, boys and girls. That was a wonderful practice that we had this morning, and now you're going to go off to Sunday school in the classroom to do some more Christmas work. And as they do, we'll sing the last two verses of 681, which was a long time ago now. The last two verses will remain seated for those. I am aware of the time, but we are going to get our scripture readings done this morning because they're important readings that have to do with joy. So just before we do that, let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Holy One, giver of life and light, as your word is read this morning and proclaimed, illumine our hearts and minds that by the power of your Holy Spirit, our lives may reflect God's glory and joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 126, found in the Psalters in your pews. Today's psalm reading will be talking about all the great things that God has done. There's a reference to the water courses in the Negev. And one of the reasons that I did this morning use the baptism and pouring of the water was to bring about this idea of what's being talked about in the psalm. The Negev is a desert and a semi-desert region in southern Israel. The Arabs, including the native Bedouin population of that region, referred to the desert as Al-Nekeb. The origin of the word Negev, or Negev in modern Hebrew, it comes from the root word denoting dry. In the Bible, the word Negev is also used for the direction of south. So the Negev is a rocky desert. It's covered in brown, dusty mountains interrupted by wadis, dry river beds that bloom briefly after rainfall, and lots of deep craters. So it's important to recall that this area floods with water randomly, although seasonally, and makes great farming, even though it's in the middle of a great desert. It's a wonderful way to picture the joy with which we anticipate the coming of the Lord during this Advent time, much like the coming of the waters of the Negev to flood and make the land fertile for farming. Let's read responsively then Psalm 126. Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 61. It's found on page 691 in the Old Testament part of your pew Bibles. This reading in Isaiah speaks of salvation and the joy associated with it. Whenever we speak of salvation, we really need to ask the question, what are we being saved from? From God's punishment, from the devil, from our own sins, from death? And in some ways, each of these answers has been part of Christian theology or theological tradition, but in different times and places, certain ones have been emphasized. For many Christians today, salvation means getting into heaven, which is a way of saying that human beings are saved from God's punishment, and from death, and from sin and the devil. And this way of thinking about salvation can sometimes lead to a misunderstanding of mission as the work of getting as many people into heaven as possible. And we need to understand that God is saving us in otherworldly terms, that God is truly bringing us back into union with Him through Christ. It's more than just getting there. It's all about our relationship that's restored through Christ, and we are saved in that respect. Isaiah's talking quite a bit about the people being away from the major city, away from Jerusalem, away from their God, and they're being saved and brought back into that relationship, into His place. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4, and then 8 to 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Verse 8, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the people, a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, page 205 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. 1 Thessalonians is almost certainly the earliest Christian writing that we have. And I've mentioned this before. I have a Bible that I had during my studies at college or university that's got the books of the Bible in the order that they were written. And 1 Thessalonians is the first book in the New Testament portion for that reason. It was written early in Paul's apostolic career and not many years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Today's passage is concerned with the worship life of Christians and of the Christian congregation, beginning generally and then focusing on that particular issue of prophetic speech. Our reading speaks about joy and rejoicing, and the way that Christians rejoice and the way that Christians give thanks is by praying, and we'll see that as we read through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And our gospel reading is taken from John chapter 1, selected verses there you can see beginning at verse 6, page 91 in your New Testament. John the Baptist is no independent figure. He belongs entirely to Christ, and so we can't look at John without looking at Jesus, and we can't look at the beginning of Jesus' ministry without certainly taking into account John's life. And this reading today is talking about there was this prophet that's being sent forth, and the people were waiting for a prophet to be sent forth. And so they received John very openly as we've read through scriptures. And he's talking about the coming of Jesus. That's what Advent's all about. John is that voice. Advent is here. Jesus is coming. John chapter 1, 6 to 8, 19 to 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Verse 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. And this is the word of God. We join together now in our Advent hymn, number 122, O Come, Emmanuel. Yeah, one verse. We had fun with the children's time this morning, and it was a joyful time in many, many ways. And I'm glad that we were able to do that. And the only thing I wanted to say, based on the scriptures that we've read, and based on this happiness that we had this morning with the children's time, is that joy and happiness are not directly connected to one another. In other words, our joy is not dependent upon our happiness. We can be happy, but not necessarily joyful. We can be sad, and we can be joyful. Because joy comes from a source that's different. It comes from a source that is the hope we have in Christ. And that's the whole point behind Christmas. People were joyful in Isaiah when they were living away from Jerusalem. They were joyful because they knew that God was going to do something great in their lives. That is that sense of hope. Joy is not necessarily dependent on happiness. Happiness can be an outcome from joy, but we often put too much emphasis at Christmas time in the events that take place. The wording is that rather than we look for joy in, when we look for joy in our traditions rather than through our tradition, joy can short circuit. I'll say that again. When we look for joy in our traditions rather than through our traditions, joy often gets short-circuited because we expect something that may not happen. We receive joy through the things that we do, through the experiences that we have, not in just doing them all the time. And it's important at a time like this at Advent and Christmas because there's an expectation often that, well, unless this happens, the kids run downstairs every morning at Christmas morning, and then I'm joyful. And then when the kids aren't running down the stairs anymore because they're not kids anymore, we think our joy is gone. And that's because we're trying to experience our joy in that event as opposed to through the event that lives on beyond the actual time of it happening. God wants us to be joyful on this day, and that's why we have a pink candle. The purple candles are all for repentance and for holiness, and the royal tradition is a purple. But of that one Sunday we have of Advent and of Lent, we have a time of joy, a time when Christ gives us the joy we truly need. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you give us. We thank you for the joy that we experienced this morning. It wasn't in the event, it was through the event. Even though there wasn't a pageant, we still had a pageant. And it was a wonderful time, Lord, to see the children up here participating and some of the adults helping us out. Lord, we ask that the joy of Christmas, which is Christ, the Prince of Peace, can fill us this day and in the weeks to come. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the time of our offering, and at this time of year, the abundance of some and the needs of so many stand out, as we've seen with the various gifts that we have. But now we bring our tithes and our offerings, and may Christ's heart rejoice and the needs of others be tended as we do. Good job. Good job. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings you give us. Lord, bless this, our offering, that it may be used to your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We come now for our prayers of the people, like we've been doing. We will continue this morning. To offer names, and we'll give you an opportunity to mention names out loud as we are in our prayers. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that you give us great joy. But Lord, there are also times when people are feeling sad, and we beg and pray that you can turn these sadness sounds and voices into shouts of joy. And only you can do that. Lord, everybody here has someone in their life that is in need. We've been coming to you from week to week, mentioning many of those people. And Lord, we do so again this morning. And so we take a time now where we offer names to you, Lord, that you can intervene in their lives. Hear these names, Lord. Intervene in their lives and in their families and in their friends. Bless those who have offered these names too, Lord. And for the many names that weren't said out loud but thought in our minds, Lord, we trust that you are a God who promises and keeps those promises. Promises to love and to heal and to lift up. And in all of these names, Lord, whatever the circumstance may be, we hold them up in trust of that promise of your love and your healing hand. Lord, we pray this all in Christ's mighty, mighty name. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn, just verse 1 this morning, because it's joyful, and I want to sing that verse particularly, and we heard it during our anthem, 410, verse 1, joyful, joyful, we adore you. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody who participated this morning in our practice pageant, and make sure you get a chance to tell the kids how good a job they did in practice so that next year we're all ready to get going and have a really good one. And again, thank you as well for bringing in the white gifts and participating in the children's wish. The Bible tells us, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, witness to the light of Christ so that all might believe through him. And now may the God of peace call forth your complete dedication. May the light of Christ shine upon you and the Holy Spirit fill you completely, now and forever. Amen.